Welcome to The Third Mind, a podcast that examines the world of supervision in transactional analysis psychotherapy. I am Aruna Gopakumar, a provisional teaching and supervising transactional analyst. In each episode of The Third Mind, we present a supervision session, a dialogue between a therapist and a supervisor, where the therapist reflects on their lived experience with the client. Therapists talk about their questions, stuckness, mistakes, and ethical dilemmas, and think together with me about them. Each session is followed by a discussion with other psychotherapy trainees to apply theory to practice. The clients presented here are fictitious, though the challenges of the practitioners are real. I have created this in collaboration with my trainees who have enacted the roles of the supervisees to bring these challenges alive.
Welcome to episode 3, When I Find the Client in Me.
Hi, Raj.
Hello.
Yes, Raj. What would you like in supervision today?
So, Aruna, I have this client with whom I've done 5 sessions now. Last session, she brought up the issue of her son not studying for his exams. She wanted to know what she could do differently so as to get him to study. We had a discussion. I felt it was useful for her. And she went back with a couple of options that she was happy to experiment with.
All right. So what would you like in supervision?
Well, she came with a clear problem to be solved. Through discussion, she got some insights and options connected to the problem at hand. However, I wasn't able to explore deeper with her, discuss her own feelings. My hesitation was that she was looking to change her behavior in the moment. So would she have responded to questions about her own feelings?
So one more time, what would you like in the supervision?
Okay, so I can see that I haven't answered your question.
Yeah.
Okay, let me say it this way. So my stuckness was that I wanted to take the conversation in a different direction.
Okay.
But the pull for me was to go with the client, and that pull was very high.
Mm.
So how could I have gracefully taken the client to where I thought they should go without it being abrupt or without breaking the client's flow of thought?
Okay. So you want to reflect on how you could take your conversation with your client in a direction different from what the client seemed to be taking. Have I got that right?
Yes.
Hmm. So why is this important to you?
You know, I want my work with the client to be deeper.
Okay. And how do you define deeper?
It means I want to focus on underlying feelings, get to those unconscious motivations.
As opposed to
focusing on just behavior change.
Okay. So you wanted to do that with this client as well, I think, to not just focus on behavioral change, but also focus on underlying feelings and motivations.
Yes, and I was worried if it was my agenda rather than the client's. The client... Okay. May not have believed that my direction is relevant to them at that point, even though I may have seen it like that.
How come you believe that?
So the way I imagined it, if I had asked her directly, I felt like she might not have had an answer for me.
Again, how come you believe that she may not have an answer to that? What were you thinking of asking?
So let me see. So I was thinking of asking her something like, I see you anxious.
Mm.
What's going on for you? Do you find yourself getting anxious in other situations too? I don't know how to invite her into deeper thinking.
Well, what you've shared with me seems fine to me. You just shared with me 2 questions that invite her to look inwards. What's going on for you? And do you get anxious in other situations too? And yet I hear you saying, I don't know how to invite her into deeper thinking.
So were my questions okay?
So how would you decide if they were okay or not?
If I think now, you know, they feel okay to me. I was asking her to see if she recognized a pattern.
Yeah, which means you were bringing awareness to her script. Yeah?
Yes. This is what I was doing. But in that moment, I wasn't aware that this question, you know, was it inviting her to attend to her script patterns. I wasn't probably aware of why I was asking a question. I just did that intuitively.
Sure. Yeah. I suppose that will also come as you reflect more on your sessions, you connect theory to practice in a more aware way. And sometimes a diagnosis or assessment of what's going on with the client can also inform the questions that we ask.
Yes.
So do you have some idea of this client's script patterns?
So I've observed the try-hard driver, not just in the last session, but also in earlier sessions. But I'm thinking, as I do this, is it possible for me to be with the client, listen to what the client is saying, and at the same time think about diagnosis? It seems difficult. It's easier for me to reflect on it later and then make connections. A lot of times, these connections are not so apparent to me in the session. They are apparent only later.
So I can see that you are imagining that it will be difficult to be diagnosing while you're working. And diagnosis can deepen when we step back and reflect. But if I were to replace the word diagnosis with in the moment observations, like you observed she was trying hard. So that's a diagnosis. Yeah. So do you have more assessments like that? What have you observed about this client in the last few sessions that you worked with her?
Some things that are evident to me, she gets into a rescuer position easily.
That's great.
She feels guilty often. She over details. She agitates about her own problems. And she has a strong internal critical parent. And I'm wondering now, why I didn't work with these during the session. Yeah. I could have invited her attention to any of these, you know, say her trying hard to help her son.
Yeah.
That would have been useful for her. And it didn't occur to me in that moment of my stuckness.
So why are you calling it stuckness?
So I stayed with the behavioral options. I didn't move to these intra-psychic processes, even though I wanted to. That's what I feel.
Was your stuckness, yeah? So what stopped you?
So I was anxious. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But I think the client was also, or I felt that the client was also very interested in what she could do. She wanted to act differently.
So she was also interested in behavioral change.
Yes.
So are you aware of stages of cure? Is it okay to help a client gain behavioral options?
I am aware that social control is the first stage of cure, and I think that's where she was coming from.
Yeah.
But I guess I was not satisfied. I felt that there's more to be done, and I don't know what.
Sure, I get that. Yeah. And I wonder if that was also what the client was feeling. So was that a parallel process between you and the client, that there is more to be done and I don't know what?
It's interesting. So she was clearly trying to do more, though I thought she was doing more than enough. And as you asked me the question, I think I was also trying hard.
So is that true? You were trying hard?
Yes, I was.
Mm-hmm. And how is this awareness making a difference to you?
So I'm becoming more reflective and I'm thinking about the different ways I was trying hard.
Yeah, great. What's coming up for you as you think that?
I had good questions.
Yeah,
I can see that now. Mm-hmm. But I didn't ask because I assumed that the client may not have an answer. Mm-hmm. And I struggled with what to do, even though I clearly have or had options.
Yeah, yeah. Excellent. Yeah. Not believing what you had was good enough.
Yeah.
And staying confused and stuck. Anything else?
I'm not sure.
Can I add?
Please, that'll be helpful.
So I saw you concluding that listening to a client and thinking about diagnosis at the same time would be difficult. So assuming very quickly that it is difficult, or assuming diagnosis is a big and complex thing.
So are you saying that it is not and I'm seeing it as difficult?
What do you think? Is that a possibility?
Probably is. I do make things complex sometimes. Again, I see that right now. Another thing that's coming to my mind, in the session I shared with the client, why don't you meet your son where he is rather than where you want him to be? I can probably give myself that, you know, same advice.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So rather than worry about where to take the person finally, I could also focus on incremental change. And as I think about it now, the client had several useful insights. I'm wondering now why I discounted those.
Good question. And what's the answer?
So it comes back to my trying too hard and focusing on what was not finished.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So is there a metaphor that comes to your mind when you see yourself with this client? Is there a visual for the relationship?
Oh, God. Okay. Let me think. So the first thing that comes to mind is two rats scurrying here and there, hurriedly searching for something.
Wow. So interesting, isn't it? Scurrying and searching. Yeah. So two rats in a hurry.
Yeah. And feels like I probably took on her anxiety too.
Mm-hmm. So stay with this metaphor and see what meaning you make of it.
So with that image of both of us running and thinking in some ways, mm-hmm. I'm reinforcing for her that there's that perfect answer that needs to be found. And it may not be easy to find.
Yeah. Great awareness, yeah? You shared with me that your client was already doing a lot and yet she was dissatisfied and wanted to do more.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. But that was exactly my process too. Feels like it now. And I guess I might have ended up reinforcing that for her.
Yeah, reinforcing for her that there's more to be done.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So because you are also running with her in that image and searching for something.
Correct. So, when I think about it, does that mean or do I believe that what she was doing is not enough? Mm. When I try hard with her, maybe I'm communicating to her that she needs me, that I don't trust her to think for herself.
Mm. Yeah, possible. It could be a one-up position where you believe you need to help the client.
I recognize that pattern in myself. I often find myself in that rescuer role, and as I see myself running with her, I'm kind of reinforcing it. Yeah.
So how is this awareness making a difference?
The first thing I'm wondering is if I should bring it into the conversation with her.
What could be the advantage of that?
Actually, no advantage. I'm not sure my sharing that I'm trying too hard will really help the client. I'm not sure. I don't know what to do now.
Do you have to do something Are you still trying hard?
I guess so. Yes. Good point. Good point. I could just be different. I guess. Yes. I should be different. I don't have to do anything.
You should be different.
Okay. Again, that's me again. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything different. But how would you like to be?
Okay.
How would you like
to be? Yeah. Sorry. Sorry. You were saying.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
So as I said, I think earlier, I'm going back to that point, I could meet the client where she is rather than where she should be. So let's take the should out of the equation.
Yes.
I could just stop trying, right? I want to bring in more stillness in me first.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel this client would have benefited from my containing her in a still way. When I think of it, I don't know how to be still. Or am I still trying hard? I don't know.
Are you?
I am. I think I could just be still.
How to be still, yeah?
Yes, yeah. Just be still is what I think, yes.
Sure. Yeah, so rather than being a scampering mouse, who could you be?
That's an interesting one. So the first thing that comes to mind, you know, is obviously, I want to say a calm cat, but that could be scary for her. So I'd like to say I should be a calm mouse. I see myself a little larger, but I'm not running about this time. Mm-hmm. We're talking. She still runs about here and there, which is fine. And I wait for her to come back and tell me what's going on.
Yeah. So that's beautiful. Beautiful. I see you owning your potency. Yeah, you're relaxed and trusting of yourself, the client, and the process. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm still thinking about how do I also do better? I mean, for instance, I liked your question about inviting her attention to patterns that helps her develop kind of a meta perspective, you know, rather than have a narrow focus on the immediate. How do I build, you know, this skill?
I wonder what happened just now. Are you?
Yeah. What do you mean? Sorry.
I mean, you just had a significant insight that you could be still, you could be calm, you were a little larger. And it looks like that wasn't enough. You so quickly wanted to do some more. Yeah.
Yes. I can see. Yeah, that's a pattern. Yeah, I'm becoming conscious of it, and I believe, in some ways, yeah, I tend to believe that what I do is not enough. And
yeah.
Let me just relax now.
Yeah, and trust that you are enough, and what you're doing for your client is enough. Yeah.
Sure. Yes.
Good place to take stock.
Yes, please.
Yeah, Raj, to what extent has our contract been met?
I feel like I have explored the stuckness. I'm feeling relaxed. Simple interventions can also be powerful. I recognize that. I need to pay attention to my being and what's going on for me as much as I need to attend to what I'm doing with the client. So awareness of that parallel process has helped me realize this.
Yeah.
I don't have to try so hard. I can just trust the client.
Excellent. Good place to close.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you so much, Aruna. This was really helpful.
Thank you, Raj.
Thank you.
Let's get to reflections on theory.
Hi, Abhijit. Hi, Veena.
Hey, Aruna.
Hi, Aruna. Hi, Veena.
Hey, Abhijit.
Hi. Welcome. So you heard my supervision with Raj. Shall I start by asking you, what stands out for you in this supervision?
To me, Aruna, what stood out was the idea of a parallel process.
Excellent. So would you tell me what you understand by parallel process?
So Aruna, to me, it sounds like, you know, some aspect of the client-therapist relationship gets replicated even in the therapist and supervisor kind of a conversation.
Absolutely. Yeah. So this is a way by which supervisees are unconsciously telling their supervisors what happened in the relationship with their clients. So it's non-verbal communication of some aspect of what happened in the relationship with their clients.
So you're saying Raj communicated the anxiety of the client in a way through his own anxiety.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's one parallel. Yeah. Both were anxious. Are there other parallels you saw?
Yeah, I felt both wanted to do more than they were already doing. So though they were actually doing enough, I felt, but they're still trying hard.
Exactly. Great.
I think also both believed that there was a perfect solution and they were searching for it while discounting what was going on.
Very interesting. So do you know what they were discounting or what they were defending against?
Possibly feelings, because both of them wanted to stay at the level of behavioral options than move deeper into feelings.
Good observation. It looked like for both the client and the therapist, staying with the problem seemed safer than looking inwards.
Aruna, I was wondering how understanding of the parallel process helped. As I was listening to the supervision, I was experiencing a parallel process myself. I was viscerally identifying with Raj. I've been in the same place. I hesitate to push the client when the client is preoccupied with behavioral solutions.
Yeah. So I can see your experience of the parallel process. So let me ask you, how is your understanding your own experience as a parallel to Raj's making a difference to you?
I'm not sure, but I could say I understand the stuckness of Raj because I'm feeling stuck myself.
That is it. Yeah, so you can see you have more than a cognitive understanding of what Raj went through. It's a really visceral understanding of what was happening for Raj.
Yeah, that's right. I can feel it in my body.
So now that you have this understanding, it is a source of learning. Yeah. So we learn about the client, we learn about ourselves, and then we can learn how to help the client. Yeah. So if we explore parallel process, these are the possible learnings that can emerge.
So then are we saying that in this case, Raj learned that he was similar to the client then?
Yeah. It means that a similar part of his script got stirred up in this relationship with the client. Yeah, so he unconsciously identified with the client. So this unconscious identification can happen because of our own script, but it's not always the case. Sometimes it can be a transitory picking up of another's emotions, even though we may not resemble the client in that manner. Exploration of the parallel process can help us uncover where our experience comes from. It could also be the result of projective identification, which is the client puts into the therapist a feeling that he or she dissociates themselves. Yeah. Mm. And that's also an unconscious process.
So with this awareness, what Raj did was to then step out of the parallel process, right?
Yeah. So that's one learning. Once we become aware of the parallel process, so he becomes aware that he's trying hard or he is also scared to move into feeling. So he decides to step out. So he decides to not try so hard. Yeah. So that's what happened.
Yeah. And I also think you confronted his need to try hard in the session, right?
Yeah. So that's what I did as a supervisor. So in a way, that's modeling to him how he can deal with the same dynamic in the relationship with his client. So parallel process is not just upward movement, it also reverses back to the client. So here Raj became aware, he saw how I brought the process into his awareness and what his options were, and he can take the same process back to his client.
So it means it needs a personal transformation on the part of the therapist to impact the client.
Oh, absolutely. It does.
I'm finding this parallel process as very interesting aspect. Yeah.
Yes, isn't it?
Yeah,
it means that I need to sharpen my observation skills, and stepping out of the parallel process often involves risk.
It does. Yeah. So Raj would have to take the risk of stepping into feelings. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm also sitting with a thought that I need to take supervision more often. This process seems so unconscious that I just myself may not recognize it.
Yeah. Parallel process often needs a third mind to be recognized.
Yeah. The other thing I learned from the supervision, Aruna, was about diagnosis.
Yeah.
That word scares me too. Because every time I, think about diagnosis, it's about DSM. We're looking for some symptoms and categorizing them. But not everything that looks really pathological is pathological, isn't it? For instance, a person can be sad, but not necessarily depressed.
Yeah. So I see that you are seeing diagnosis as giving a pathological or a medical label to what we observe.
Yeah.
But I see diagnosis differently. So diagnosis is our formulation or our conceptualization of what's going on for our client. And TA offers plentiful models for us to do that without pathologizing our clients. For instance, recognizing a client's ego state is a diagnosis. Recognizing a client's drivers or discounts, all of these are diagnoses. I would see these as ways of naming intrapsychic processes. And doing this allows us to choose our interventions.
I've seen some people obsessing about whether the client is coming from P1 or C1, or whether the impasse is type 2 or type 3. And it sort of puts me off, Aruna. We then seem to be more interested in doing the categorizing than actually understanding what is going on.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. When we have plentiful theories, it's often easy to forget that these theories are metaphors that we have created to understand human processes. Yeah, and these are not concrete realities. But often, if they are mistaken for concrete realities, then they can actually come across as judgmental or break contact. Yeah, so it's important to stay tentative and retain a curious, inquiring stance.
So Aruna, can I share my observations or TA ways of understanding these with my client?
Sure, you're saying, can I teach some theories to my, or explain TA ways of understanding things to your client? Absolutely. What will you be mindful of?
Now, I would be mindful of, not really taking a position of an expert telling them that this is the truth.
Yeah.
Appearing tentative sounds good to me.
Yeah. That's really important, to take a tentative stance and present it sensitively and also stay curious. Yeah, so see how the client responds to it, get into a dialogue and see how they make meaning and keep attending to what's emerging for you and for the client. Yeah.
Yeah. I also learned that I need to put my observations over several sessions together. I could call diagnosis such as painting a coherent story. What is the story of this client? What role are they playing in their own story? How is their story helping or hurting them?
Yeah. Wonderful. I hear you saying, as you put the observations together, a larger story emerges. Yeah. And that larger story actually influences the here and now stories. Yeah. So you're saying these observations help you see that larger story.
That's what we call the script, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. So that's the diagnosis too. Yeah. So how does arriving or formulating the client's script help you as a practitioner?
I think once I have a meta view on what is going on for the client, it's easier for me then to take more risks, invite attention to what we both may be consciously avoiding, and then step into more impactful questions.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so the idea of script can, not just the client script, also of your script and how it interacts, gives a big picture. So it's a meta view of what's going on, and you can understand what's happening at an unconscious level. Beautiful. Okay. Do you think this is a good place to close?
Yeah.
Yeah. So would you like to summarize what you're taking back?
I think what I gained was doing better does not mean work harder. I could be extremely effective even in my stillness, holding space for the client to explore what's going on for them.
Exactly, exactly. We could say our role is to be with clients rather than do to them. Yeah? Yeah, to see value in stillness.
Yeah, I love that too. I also learned that, you know, diagnosis means painting a coherent story. And then I can just hold the story with tentativeness and just gather more and more understanding of the client then.
Excellent. It was wonderful talking to both of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Aruna.
Thank you.
Thanks, Aruna.